following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sapleski.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other. Let's get ready to rumble!
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning. I am your host, Jeff Paul, my good friend, my buddy, but limping today, my good friend Bernie Siplicki in the big seat. What's happening over there, big man?
Not much, my friend.
You're playing hurt today?
Yeah. What else is new? Beautiful November day out there.
Oh, it's terrible. November. This would be cold for November. Yeah, okay? This is like mid-January. I'm having a hard time with this stuff. But anyway, hey, I'm glad you're here. Get a cup of coffee, get under the blanket, put the fire on, and listen to us for 2 hours. We're Sports Saturday. If you want to join our conversation, 802-655-6672 is the number to call, 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line to the same number, 655-6672. What a week it's been. Baseball has started. The Masters is going on, and we've got a great show today. We're going to tackle a lot of things today, Bern.
We are. It's exciting. Great time of year. A lot of transition with NHL, NBA playoffs getting ready to kick in. We have the Masters, you know, like talk about the NFL draft. Not a lot of Giants talk today, please.
No, right. Okay. We got to keep that down.
And, you know, it's going to be fun, man. Going to be fun as always.
It is. We got a great show. Listen, the Patriots are being the Patriots, right? This offseason, Brandon Cooks gets traded the other day. There's talk that Gronkowski could retire. We're going to talk to Tom King at 10:20, our Patriots insider. We do talk to Tom a lot, but he, to me, from all the guys we've talked to, he is the inside guy. He's front row guy. We're going to get a good idea what's going on in Patriot Nation, Bernie.
We are, and it's interesting. You know, you wonder if the rumors are out there about Baker Mayfield. And them wanting to trade up because they could actually trade with the Giants. They have that like draft chart value, and the 2 ones and the 2 twos that the Patriots have would be enough and an equal trade to get the Patriots to number 2.
Can you imagine the ripple effect that would have if that happened?
I just don't see it. If I'm a Patriot fan, I don't want that to happen because there are some holes to fill and. You know, with those 4 picks, it's interesting that quarterback for the future or build to continue to win now.
Well, we're going to get the inside scoop from Patriot Insider Tom King at 10:20. Then at 10:40, it is Masters Week. I think it's the best week in the PGA Tour. I love the Masters. We're going to talk to PGA Tour agent Dave Maragy. He's going to join us live here in 10:40, an exclusive interview with Dave Maragy. Interesting guy, Dave. He's been a player agent for over 30 years. He's the tournament director for the Greater Greensboro Open. He's done that for many years, successfully produced many pro golf tournaments around the world. An inside guy in a sport that's very interesting. He's going to give us some backside information on what it's really like to be a part of the PGA Tour and why the Masters is so special.
Yeah, it's always the stuff on the outside looking in, like, when do the guys get there?
Yeah.
How do they pay for it? You know, how does all that work? You know, and just to understand and hear those type of little intricacies, it's going to be exciting.
And what makes the Masters so great? I mean, what makes the Masters
Tiger
so
Woods.
Amazing? But I mean, just overall.
No, Tiger Woods.
Just Tiger. Well, Tiger Woods makes this one pretty interesting, but I think overall it'll be great talking with him. And the question that I'll have for David is, and we've talked about this on our show, is how golf has evolved. and what the athletes today are like from what they were back in the 80s and 90s. And I've always compared the PGA Tour to NASCAR back in the 80s and 90s because everybody had their own guy. Everybody rooted for their own PGA Tour player. That's kind of who you followed. That's who you rooted for. And now the PGA Tour, to me, is a little bit vanilla in terms of their athletes, in terms of the players, for the exception of Tiger. You take Tiger and Phil Mickelson out of the fray, and then everybody else, maybe you even take Sergio out of that. But I think Sergio is still part of the early part of thing. But you're talking about today's stars. They're all kind of alike, which was a lot different between the 80s and 90s. But I think it'll be fun to talk to Dave about that. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to Vinny Iyer. He's an NFL writer for the Sporting News. We're going to talk about his mock draft. As you mentioned, Bernie, early, the draft is coming. People love the draft. It's going to be very exciting. There's a lot of unknowns there. There's some huge names that could be traded, just like we talked about Odell Beckham Jr., the Giants sitting at number two, that people keep talking that the Giants could move that. Is it a quarterback that goes number one? Like, what happens? Vinny's got some good inside scoop for us.
Yeah, the 26th and 27th and 28th of April, the 3 days of the draft, is going to be extremely exciting. And, you know, you wish it was kind of here sooner, because I think I'm kind of sick of talking about it. Let's see what happens.
I keep thinking it's going to be like, I feel like it should be next week. Is it always this late in April? I thought it was like mid-April. I thought that's when this thing happens. You don't know.
Come on,
Bernie. I thought you would be all over this. You're the NFL guy.
No. I mean, I'm still upset that, the Super Bowl and the NCAA tournament start way too late. But that's not the championship.
There is a great article this week in the New York Post about the Masters. We were just talking about the Masters, about things you can and cannot do and things that can get you kicked out of the Masters. Did you know?
As a fan or a player?
As a fan. So first of all, they're not called fans at the Masters. They're not allowed to call them fans. They're called patrons. That's number one. Okay. Number two, there's no like major logo. So for example, if you wanted to get a Coke, they don't sell them as Coke. It's called Cola. And if you yell the word, Dilly Dilly, the Bud Light Dilly Dilly thing, if you yell that, that gets you kicked out of Augusta. So you cannot. So you know how sometimes there's backswings, you'll hear in the hole.
Or
if you yell dilly dilly, if you yell in the hole, they're going to kick you out of Augusta National. I mean, it's strict there. Very strict there. It's amazing. I've never been there, but it's going
to
be fun.
I'd love to go there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got some friends that are now. My dad's been there a couple times. Dave Maragy's been to numerous, so it'll be fun to talk to him. But that's what I mean. The Masters is like a different world. That's why I don't know. It's an amazing place, an amazing tournament. There's some controversies with the Masters as well, and with Augusta National. We get all that stuff, but this tournament's interesting, and it'll be fun to talk to Dave. So, I do have to tell you, I watched the worst.
What are you doing?
What do you mean
watching that?
So you come across things. I don't know if any guys, like, I come home from work, you get like a second wind. You never get the second wind, So when I work, it's late.
Nah, you should just break one.
Well, yeah. Yes, you do. I can. But anyway, it was late at night. I'm flipping through TV, come across a movie. It had just started. It's called Open Water. I'm going to tell you something right now. Do yourself a favor and do not watch this movie called Open Water. It's a terrible movie. Incredibly sad. I thought there'd be a happy ending at the end. I watch movies thinking, basically, it's a documentary about this poor couple that goes to some beautiful island for vacation. They go on this scuba diving trip, Bernie, and they go in the water and they're doing their thing, looking at coral, looking at fish. Well, the boat ends up leaving them in the middle of the ocean. And this is a true story, I guess. So I'm watching this thing. Okay, it's a true story, so something good must come of it, right? Like, they're going to get saved at the last minute. They both get killed. It's terrible. I've been depressed about it all week.
There's so much good stuff going on.
I know.
When you want to talk about this movie.
Why were you
watching it?
It's a public service announcement. So if it come across it, don't watch it.
Why were you watching it?
Because it was late at night. There's nothing on.
You probably have 700 channels and you picked this one?
But the Yankees had lost and I didn't want to watch any replays of that. So I was off that. I'm like, let's just kind of get into this movie. Whatever. Looked like ocean, whatever. I started open water. Sounded good to me.
All right.
But I'm never scuba diving. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not scuba diving at all. I'm not doing it.
Do we have some phone calls?
Better hope.
We got a Dave in Colchester and a Dave in Burlington. Dave in Colchester wants to talk Kyrie and the Yankees.
Sounds good to me. Dave in Colchester, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Good morning, Dave.
I'm a Yankee guy, Jeff.
Me too.
We won't talk about last night, but I wanted to talk to you about Sterling's call. What do you think of that call? And I have an idea. I think he can be better.
Sterling's call on Giancarlo, you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to come up with something better. And I don't even know what he's talking about.
How about, because he changed his name, so how about Stanton drops the mic? after a home run. I think that's a
big, I like that. I'll tell you right now, you should use that. Why don't you email him that or email the WF fan in New York and tell him that's what he should use. That's a great idea.
That's a good one. And then on Kyrie, I'm concerned if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm concerned his situation. 26 going on 36, major surgeries. The main guy, he's wear and tear. Is this the beginning of the end? For Kyrie.
I mean, I think that's a great question. I think there's a lot of wear and tear in those knees. You're absolutely right. He's a young guy, but you know his knees are a little bit older than that. Bernie, you're a big Celtic fan. You're a big basketball guy here. I mean, is there a concern as a Celtic fan about this injury?
Kyrie, no knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a lot of concern and. You just hope that this is precautionary and this gets rid of the infection and he can come back and be his own self. And the fact that the Celtics are where they are and they're still hopefully going to win a playoff series without their two marquee all-stars just shows you how good of a coach Brad Stevens is and how good of a GM Danny Ainge is with the roster that they've put around him.
And we've talked so many times about Danny Ainge, you know, about how he was maligned for years and disrespected for years. He's done an amazing job. And listen, don't count this team out. I mean, this team can still put some points on the board. They're incredibly well. I'll stop it.
They're going to win. They could win the first round, and that's it.
Oh, boy.
They're not beating Toronto. They're not beating Cleveland or Philadelphia, whoever they play in the second round.
Yeah, Philadelphia is red hot. You're absolutely right. Hey, man, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
right.
Dave.
We have another Dave, right? This Dave from Burlington? Do we still have him?
Yes.
All right, Dave, what's happening this morning, buddy?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
This is your old producer.
Hey, Dave Hunter, what's happening, buddy?
I'm very sad.
Why?
Yankees, I watched them last night, 5 hours or whatever that game took.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you have any injury updates because CC hurt his hip.
Yep.
Drury, I don't know what happened to Wade. He got sick. Chapman looks like he tweaked something. Yep. And Sanchez.
I can give
Not to mention they lost the game.
I can. Go ahead. I can give you some. So CC Sabathia's in the DL. They just put him on the DL, which was shocking because last night after the MRI came back, it came back clean, but they're going to put him on the DL. Sanchez had a cramp, so they'll see how he feels today. I don't think he'd be catching today anyway, but I don't expect that to be a long time. It turns out that Drury had a migraine. That's why he came out. And Wade, I think, had an issue with his
flu.
He had flu-like symptoms. So
you know, all a bunch of nothing.
Yeah, well, you know.
What about Chapman?
But they say there's nothing wrong with Chapman, but his velocity was definitely down. But again, you don't know if
he hasn't like 100 miles an hour hardly at all this year.
But you don't know if the velocity was down or the gun was bad because he was blowing the ball by people last night. So you know, listen, it's early in the season. I stayed up last night, Dave, as you did, and stayed until midnight watching that ridiculous game.
As did I, Dave. Enjoyed every second of it.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
If I
were Vince Lombardi, I'd be going, what the hell's going on out there?
Dave, buddy, we miss you, man. Thanks for the call, brother.
All right.
Speaking of Dave's, I have to say, one of my dear friends, Dave Antonoli, who's just, I know you kind of, this is going on, but this
you're
is,
all over the place.
I am. But
you are so rattled. Your cage is so rattled today.
I've had a rough week. It's been a long week, but this is a nice story.
Nothing about like Vaughn Miller and the Sharks?
Nope, nothing like that.
Okay.
No, but I'm just telling you, just don't watch the movie Open Water. I'm just telling you right now, if you don't want to be depressed, don't watch it.
I need you to go like on a Virginia rant or something. That might make you feel better.
Virginia's basketball team is worse than watching that movie for me right now. Okay. But anyway, my buddy Dave Antonoli is being inducted into the St. Mike's Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame. Very proud of him.
Nice.
He graduated in 96. He's first in the program history at St. Mike's with 112 career points, including 49 goals. He's finished his career with 14 career assists. I guess that's tied for fifth all time. He is the lone Purple Knight player ever with as many as 10 goals in the season, an accomplishment achieved. He did three times. He's the only one to ever do it. So congratulations to my good buddy, Dave Antonoli. Been friends for a long time. It's an honor. I think, and Bernie, I think you can relate to this because you've had, you know, your family gets inducted, and I'm sure eventually you're going to be inducted all kinds of sports Hall of Fames. It's an honor, and Dave is a close friend of mine. I'm really proud of him. It's exciting for him.
And you should. It's very humbling, and it gives you time to reflect on all the hard work you put in, you know, those Friday, Saturday nights when people are at the movies or going out and you're in the gym working out or kicking the ball around or doing whatever to continue to hone your craft. And it's the greatest reward one could get to be recognized by your own school.
Yeah, it's exciting. When I saw it, I came across last night and he hasn't said anything to, and I don't, you know, it's funny about friends. Like, you know, there's a core group of friends that you, in every phase of your life, when you're in high school, you got a group of friends and you think, oh, we're going to be friends forever. And then you go to college, you move on to the next phase of your life, and some stick and some don't. And then you meet new people, and that some stick and some don't. And Dave's stuck for a long time, and I'm really proud of him. But
you'd be thankful that, you know, he stuck to you.
No question.
I got to question his character a little bit.
But I will say this. I mean, the worst arm in men's softball history. Uh-huh. Dave Antone, he should have drop kicked it, or maybe, you know, punted it in a couple times. The worst left fielder's arm in the history of men's league softball. I will say that. Amazing soccer player, amazing guy, but bad arm in softball.
All right.
Yeah,
well, that's too bad.
But
now I got to ask you my question. I got a friend who's a Giants fan who listens, and he brought up a good point to me, and I just have to ask you, because we're getting ready to talk, you know, to Tom King in our next segment and the Patriots and all that kind of stuff. You don't like Eli Manning.
Okay.
You don't like Odell Beckham.
Right.
You want to get rid of him. You didn't like Tom Coughlin.
I did not say that.
Yeah, his time management.
You're right.
You didn't like Jerry Reese.
I didn't say, well, no.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't like the coach we just fired.
Right. No, I didn't like him at all.
So the ultimate question is, what do you like about the New York Giants?
Hey, man, they're my team. I grew up with them. I mean, it doesn't mean I have to like everything they do, every player that they have.
You don't like anything right now.
That's not true at all.
What do you like?
Let's see. What do I like? I like the new GM. I like Gettleman a lot. I think I like what he's doing. I let's see. Who else do I like?
Yeah, you like nothing. You like nothing.
Well, there's not a lot to like about him right now. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I mean, it's because you look at everything through rose-colored glasses, and obviously your friend does as well. Eli Manning's been incredibly average. Odell Beckham is annoying. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, that guy is, if you talk about a guy that's an anti-team player, that's Odell Beckham Jr.
Why? Just because he's not a Duke?
He should be a Duke with them. If you want to make that money and you want to be the guy, start showing that you're a team player. But that's another story for another time. I didn't say I didn't like Jerry Reese. I actually met Jerry Reese once. I mean, he brought two Super Bowl championships.
You didn't like the job he did.
Right, late in the thing. I didn't like the job he did late. You know, I didn't like the last coach. I didn't like whatever his name
was.
You
don't like the special team. You don't like the special team.
No,
you don't like Eric Flowers.
That's it, but I love the organization. I love the New York Giants. That's my team.
You don't like anything. So, see? Okay, so.
That's not true. I like a lot of things. I like Joe Morris.
I like Amani Toomer. Present day.
Oh, present day. Who do I like on the team?
Landon Collins.
I like Landon Collins.
Sterling Shepard.
I like Sterling Shepard.
Okay.
A lot.
And the tight end, Evan Ingram.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So what else do you want me to tell you?
Three out of 15.
3-13 makes you not like a lot of things, Byrne. 3-13, not making the playoffs in, like, you know, 20 years.
Well, give Eli a line. We'll get back to the playoffs.
We're going to talk about a team that actually wins a lot of games, the Patriots, with our good buddy Tom King. Don't go anywhere.
The Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins.
Mud season meltdown is on at McMahon Chevy Buick.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com.
Mike Wilmer.
You ready to talk some Patriots?
Oh, let's do it.
Something different?
I'm taking a lot of abuse last couple weeks here, man.
Whatever.
Talking too much New York, I guess, for some people's taste. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pertinent. I feel like it's pertinent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well.
So, listen, are the Patriots being the Patriots or what this offseason, right? I mean, if you're a fan of the Patriots, what are you thinking? You're thinking, what are they doing? But then again, I tell my Patriot fans, take a deep breath and relax. What are you freaking out about? You got Bill Belichick. Like you. Are you freaking out, Aaron? You're a big Patriots
fan. No, it doesn't stress me out. It just makes me sad to see stars leave. Like, I know it's a good thing. I know Bill's got a plan. I trust him because I've only lived in the We Trust Bill We Trust era.
Yeah, you haven't seen anything yet.
So, I don't distrust his decisions. It makes me sad to watch Randy leave. It made me sad. And I was like eight, but it made me sad. And watching Brandon Cooks leave makes me sad.
What makes you sad about Brandon Cooks? He had a cup of coffee there.
He's a burner, man.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. I mean, you can't freak out about Brandon Cooks. It's not like he's some, like, longtime Patriot.
You weren't going to be able to sign him anyways, so you got something good for him.
Oh, I know, and I know it's a good move. It just makes me sad.
All right, well, let's get the inside scoop on the Pats with our good friend right now on the TikTok through his guest line. Tom King joins us. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys.
Is it
two things?
Go ahead.
One is I was
just depressed. I was crying for half an hour after Brandon Cooks was traded. I just couldn't. I could not just collect myself. And B, you can never talk enough New York. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Let's get those two things straight right off the bat.
Tom, listen. I mean, Brandon Cooks, and there's the obviously the situation with Gronk. I mean, what's happening down there right now?
Well, I mean, I think what's happening is with Cooks. I mean, that was a deal that wasn't too surprising because of the money. They could save some money on the cap, but also he was entering the final year of his contract. The price for receivers is going up, and they tried to negotiate with him, but they weren't able to hammer out an extension before the season started. So they figured, let's get something for him now before the draft and get another first round pick, because basically the Patriots need to get younger. They need bodies. They need young, good, prime bodies. And they've got four chances at them in this year's draft with two picks in the second round and two picks in the first round. The Gronk thing, it's the same thing as the Brady thing. It all comes down to two words, Alex Guerrero. All right, that Gronk has followed Brady as a disciple of Guerrero. And they didn't like what happened to Guerrero earlier in the year, middle of the year, whenever it happened, and when Belichick kind of froze Guerrero out. And that's what this is all about. Plus, I think Gronk wants a new contract. I think his agent is telling him, well, Gronk, if you're not too thrilled about things, why don't we just start to angle for a new contract that'll make you feel better? Drew Rosenhaus does that all the time with his clients. And the retirement story, very carefully planted, so it would come out prime time Super Bowl, the night of the Super night of the game, after the game. And then, he's keeping, all the fans on edge because he figures that keeps the Patriots on edge. He's been at the facility. He's been working out. He's not going anywhere. Now, could they trade him? I wouldn't be surprised. They won a Super Bowl without him. They lost one with him. They can justify it that way in their mind. But when they dealt Cooks, to me, that signified, okay, they'll hold on to Gronkowski because they just can't, let all the weapons, all the receivers and Brady's receivers go out the door. So, and of course, they know that Brady and Gronk, Brady values Gronkowski highly and would be pretty upset if they traded him. So I doubt that they'll trade Gronkowski. But this is all, Alex Guerrero is the root of a lot of this. I'll tell you that right now.
Do you buy into any of the Baker Mayfield talk? And you mentioned earlier that the Patriots need to get younger with these four picks. The numbers work out for the four picks to be traded, let's say, into the top five to go get that next quarterback. Or do you think they're just going to hold on to him?
Trying to predict what they're going to do is almost impossible when it comes to Belichick. Now, the year they drafted Hightower, they used both first round picks, which nobody thought they would do. So I don't really think they're going to go after Mayfield, but you know what? You never know. They're going to need somebody for the future, obviously. So now after all the Garoppolo stuff, so basically you can't predict what they're going to do in this draft, but I do think that they want to hold on to some of these high picks because they need bodies. I mean, see, any trade to move up is going to involve multiple picks this year, and I don't see them wanting to give that up. They're at the point now where, after last year where they went the other direction, they went high veteran and basically took, four guys in the draft? And none of them, maybe Wise was the only one who made an impact at all. They can't, as an NFL team, hey, the Giants fans will tell you can't go through a series of two or three drafts where you don't get much out of them. It comes back to bite you down the road once your veterans leave. And they're at the point now where a lot of their veterans are leaving, so they need to get younger.
Tom, is this... I mean, and again, we have no crystal ball here, but you're around the team, you're around Brady, you're around these guys. I mean, is this how much longer is he going to go? I mean, how much longer is he going to play?
Look, the guy loves to compete. He loves it. He lives for it. So as long as his body tells him he can do it, he's going to keep doing it. I mean, this is, you know, but obviously Father Time catches up with you. And he may be an enigma right now in terms of what he can do at age 40 as a really top-notch MVP quarterback. But sooner or later, that one injury always seems to happen to a player as they get older, and it starts the train of recurring injuries and things like that. If that happens with Brady, it won't be more than a year. It won't be more than 2 years. My guess is the max would be 3 for him right now. That's my guess. 3 more seasons max. Anywhere under that could happen as well.
And I know Bernie has a question, but I just want to follow up. So let's say he wins a Super Bowl this year. I mean, I guess my question is, because you're around him and you kind of know his personality, is Tom Brady the kind of guy that wants to walk out on top, or is he does he want to walk off when he knows he can't compete anymore?
He'll walk off when he knows he can't compete anymore, but I guarantee you that if they won the Super Bowl this coming year, he would give it some thought.
Yeah.
You know, I think anybody would, but I think his family would give it some thought. You know, I think his family would say, hey, Tom, you know, and then maybe his wife and his family and all that. But the thing with him is, he loves the competition. He thrives on it. You know, I mean, a guy who you saw that Tom versus Time sits down at the laptop all day and looks at film and everything else. This is what he does. This is him. You know, you take that away from him and how would he react? And I think he's afraid to find out how he'd react. Anybody would. So I think he wants to keep doing it for as long as he can.
So, Tom, what is the one need that you think the Patriots need to address in this draft, and if they, you know, what is the one position where if they don't do anything, you're going to be going, what in goodness gracious is Bill doing?
We always do that every draft, you know. Well, I think that either I don't like the idea of, you know, you fill a need with a draft pick that's in the 23rd, 24th, 20, anywhere below the top 10, because you know, you don't know if that player is going to work out or not completely and if he's ready to go. And they've had draft picks that have, you know, a guy like Trey Flowers got better as the season goes, time goes on. But they're going to need to address left tackle, obviously. You know, I think Marcus Cannon is going to be earmarked for that spot, but at some point they're going to need to get a young left tackle in there that they could, you know, the key to any successful team usually is you get the left tackle and he's there for 10 years, you know, and that's been what they've had. They had Matt Light and then his successor, and then it's just, it's older. So it's, you know, I think that at some point they've always drafted that left tackle when they've had somebody else there for a year or two. But I think that if they don't come out of this with a solid prime offensive lineman, I'll be a little surprised. Now, as far as the quarterback situation goes, got no clue. They're not going to waste a pick just to draft a quarterback. It's got to be somebody they really like. So, and we'll see how they do with that. And I think that they always are looking for help in the secondary, and they're always looking for help on the defensive line.
Tom, I got to tell you, man, you have great insight. We appreciate it. Enjoy a little granola and yogurt this morning. Is that what we're doing this morning?
Granola, a little fruit,
yep.
Maybe a hard-boiled egg, coffee. Mm. I had a little stomach bug yesterday, so I got to take it easy today.
See, so Aaron, our new producer here, doesn't know the days of you eating the fruity pebbles in the morning.
We'd Captain have, Crunch.
Yeah,
Captain
I
Crunch.
Know, I had to ditch all that.
Captain Crunch.
Reason, you know, I mean, I miss it. I miss it terribly. You know what else I miss? Spring. Are we ever going to get
one? No kidding.
I wondered about.
No kidding. We're with you. Well, listen, you think you got it bad down there. Try to be up here.
It's yeah, like, no kidding. You know,
at least you're probably in the mid-40s or 50s. We're like in the 20s every day up here. So could be worse. Trust me. Hey, man, thanks for the time, buddy. We'll talk again down the road.
All right, guys. Talk
thanks,
to
Tom.
Later.
The great Tom King. Interesting perspective. And again, if you're a Patriot fan, I think you're just going to sit back, put your feet up, and just trust in Bill. You know what I mean? I think that's what you got to do. See, I mean, Aaron, you're so young. You don't know what it's like to be a real Patriot fan that had to deal with the 80s and the 90s when they were terrible. I mean, when those teams were just embarrassing. So the Patriot fans are like our age are panicked that it could be coming again. You know what I'm saying? Because the Patriots for many years were
no
not
way
good.
It's coming again.
No, I agree. Well, I mean, listen, that's not true necessarily. When you look at the NFL, and we've talked about it overall, there's so much parity. And the Patriots are like the only dynasty we've seen since, seriously, when? I mean, since the Green Bay Packer dynasties back in the day, or maybe the Cowboys when they had their little run there in the 90s. I mean, the Patriots have been the Patriots for over 17 years. And when Belichick goes and when Brady leaves and when all those guys go, when you have new management, new organization, new coaching, you wonder if the Patriots will become human again. I mean, I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, I mean, I do know the fear. It's just, it's not free agency moves. It's the day Bill Belichick steps in front of that podium and gives his retirement speech. Yeah. I'm going to be like white as a ghost.
And are you more worried about that, or are you more worried about Tom Brady stepping down?
Bill Belichick. Tom Brady's close, but Bill Belichick scares me a little more.
I think when Brady goes, I think Belichick goes with him. I think they go together.
I mean, cascading disaster.
Unless something happens where they know they've got the next franchise quarterback sitting there. But I got to tell
maybe
you,
maybe it's Baker Mayfield when they trade up.
Can you imagine Baker Mayfield as a Patriot?
It'd be great.
Unbelievable. All right, we're taking a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some golf with PGA Tour agent Dave Maragy. Don't go anywhere.
Or.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
This comeback music is way over my head. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea.
It's soothing, though.
It is. It's kind of like, you know.
It's
but
nice.
I feel like the beat's coming there, right? The drop's coming and go boom, boom, like that kind of thing. Is happening?
It,
yeah, okay.
It does in both of them.
You were impressed with that little drop, weren't you?
No, I'm more scared.
Yeah, scared, right? My old days, listen to the Fat, remember the Fat Boys? Oh, yeah, they're the best.
I used to
love those guys. Anyway, hey, it's Masters Week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. If you're a golf fan, you love it. I think if you're not even a big golf fan, you love the Masters. Got to agree with that, right, Bryn? You are wearing the green today, by the way. I did notice that.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love the Masters.
The Masters is, you know, one of the things, as I'm not a huge golf fan, but
right.
It's one of the things you tune into. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those sporting events that you really want to see. And the thing about the PGA Tour is I've been close to it my whole life, so I've seen some background stuff in the PGA Tour, but it's really interesting. And I thought, why not have somebody on that knows the back workings of the PGA Tour? And who better than our friend, PGA Tour agent Dave Maragy? He joins us right now on the TikTok Viewers Guest Line on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, guys. You know, listen. Good morning. Listen to that music. I thought you guys might be doing your show in an elevator.
No, yeah. If that's the elevator music you're listening to, you are hanging out in much cooler places than I'm hanging out when I go on elevators. I'm going to tell you that right now. Hey, Dave, listen, we'll get into it because I know you don't have a lot of time. You're a busy guy. What makes the Masters such a special tournament, and why is it arguably the greatest show on earth for a PGA player?
You know, I was lucky to travel the tour for a lot of years, and so you get a little cynical about tournaments, but Augusta is always different. And I heard your colleague Scott Van Pelt yesterday talking about how great it is because you've got iconic places. You've got Cameron Indoor for basketball, and you got Wrigley and Fenway for baseball. But there are other stadiums, there are other arenas. There is no other Augusta. And because it's the only major that goes back to the same place every year, it really is magical. It's a wonderful place.
What makes that place so spectacular? I mean, Bernie and I were talking about the show, the rules. Like, if you saw this or not, but there's that saying from Bud Light that says "dilly dilly." If you're yelling that at the tournament, they're gonna kick you out. They don't put logos. So if you want to get a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi, whatever, they don't. It's called cola. I mean, it really is kind of a different world there.
It is. I mean, it's very special. You know, it's you hear this cliche all the time. You can buy a sandwich for like $2. You buy a beer for like $3. It's like no place on earth. They've kept the prices there. They take care of the patrons, as they love to call the fans. They
right.
take care of the patrons.
Yeah, you can't call them fans.
No, you can't. And it really, you do have to watch your P's and Q's. I mean, if they catch you with a phone, you're barred for life. I mean, they're very
it's amazing.
Good and bad.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So if you have a cell phone there, you're out. Adios.
Wow.
And they may pull your badges forever. I mean, you may never get your badge back.
It's crazy.
It's very serious, yeah.
Very crazy. Dave, okay, so one of the questions I'm in my early 40s. When I was a young guy, I was obviously with my father, we'd spent some time on the PGA Tour, and I can remember the PGA Tour back in the 80s and early 90s when it was, to me, it was a lot like NASCAR. There were so many different personalities on the PGA Tour. You know, there were people that were deemed the good guys and the bad guys, and I think the players relished that. You know, you'd go to these tournaments, and there were, you know, this guy was, this crowd always followed this guy, and this crowd always followed that guy.
Right.
And now when I watch the PGA Tour, they're phenomenal players, and they're all fantastic. But to me, it's very vanilla, because to me, they're all kind of the same type of guy. They all hit the ball the long way. They all have the same personality. Have you seen a change in the dynamic of the PGA Tour?
You can say that maybe it's lost some of the fun. These guys are such dedicated athletes. I mean, look at the shape they're in, and that's so different. There's an old story about Lee Trevino when he was popping back and forth between the Champions Tour and the other tour, and he said, I got to go back to Champions Tour because I need to smoke and drink. These guys are all eating bananas and working out. And so there's some truth to that. I mean, they're truly athletes, and you see kids leaving other sports because of the Tiger phenomenon, and they're getting in shape, and they're playing golf instead. So you've got a Dustin Johnson or Tony Finau, and these guys are wonderful athletes.
So, Dave, from the more of the background of it, how does it work for like a player who goes to the Masters? When do they get there? How do they pay for their transportation? Does somebody set that up? Like, well, how does all that kind of work?
Well, most of these guys will have a manager. We tend not to use the word agent in golf because it's not like you take your 5% of a contract and never see the guy again. Because these men travel so much, they need someone to organize and help travel and pay bills. And it's a much a broader approach to working with a player. So it's more like manager. And quite often the wife is a manager for their husband and does an awful lot of work behind the scenes, because all he wants to do is hit balls and worry about his game, understandably. But one thing about golf is they pay all their own expenses, and that's the difference. I think if you're a utility second baseman, you're going to make $2 million a year and someone's going to pay all your expenses. These guys have to earn their way into the top 125 every year. And I think that's why people like golf. It's utilitarian, it's equalitarian. I've got to go earn my pay every year. And I think people like that.
And Bernie, just to give you some solace, they basically give these players these beautiful cars, like unbelievable cars. And I can remember one year, I mean, I've been blessed being able to do some things in the tour, but I can remember one year when I was in high school, Freddie Couples knocked on my hotel door. He and Brad Faxon came and got me, put me in this beautiful Cadillac, and taught me how to do J-turns in the back of a Wendy's down in Endicott, New York. So, I mean, they take good care of those automobiles as well. I can tell you that. Dave, I have to ask this. The Tiger Woods phenomena, I mean, how important is it that he's back and that he's actually in a position where people think he can win? I know this week's going to be tough. He had he made the cut, the Masters. Not going to happen. But how important is Tiger to this tour?
Well, it's been well documented that the prize money and the TV money has just skyrocketed when he's around. And just the other week when he first came back, what did they say? The ratings were up 400% overnight? Yeah. I mean, phenomenal. So, yeah, it's very important. And I'm not at Augusta this week, but I heard it was crazier than ever because all of a sudden Tiger's there. And he was, for a while, he was the odds-on favorite. And that's how people respond to him.
Yeah, it's amazing. Dave, thanks so much for the time today, buddy. We really appreciate it. It was great insight, and hopefully we'll talk to you again down the road.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right,
thanks
so much.
Dave.
Dave Maragy, PGA Tour agent. Interesting conversation there about the background of the PGA Tour. And, again, they are tremendous athletes, and they are superior, and it's fun to watch them hit a golf ball 500 yards. I mean, it's amazing what they can do. But I can tell you, back being a fan and being on tour, and obviously Dave's mentality is, he worked with some of the greatest players in the world and continues to do, so he's looking at it from a different perspective, where I'm looking at it as a fan's perspective. But the PGA Tour back in the 80s and 90s, late 80s, 90s, was truly, I mean, there were rivalries out there, and there were guys that didn't like each other. And I'm not saying that that's not like that now, but you sensed it. You saw it. It was documented. It was fun. I mean, it was fun to root. It was rowdy. I can remember many stories of, I'd be following people that I liked, like the Tom Kites and the Brad Faxons, and Greg Norman would walk by in his group and we'd all be growling, as they walked by. I mean, it was like going to a sporting event. Not saying it's not like that now.
But it's a gentleman's game.
Right. And like he said, it's a wonderful sport to become a pro in. There's all kinds of great things that come along with it as it was back then. But the rivalries back then compared to now, I don't think they match up, and especially with Tiger not in it. With Tiger out of it, it becomes a very vanilla tour to me, at least in terms of being able to want to turn that on a Sunday afternoon and see who's going to win a tournament.
Well, and you also mentioned in terms of the personality. Everybody's just so nice.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not a bad thing. There's just none of that kind of you know, everybody's competitive, but they control their emotions so well, and they don't get edgy, and they don't air their dirty laundry if they got a problem with somebody. You know, they because we don't hear and or see it.
And what you, and I think that's why everybody seems to love the Ryder Cup, because the Ryder Cup, which, you know, it's Europe against the United States, and there's a lot of passion there and a lot of fire there. That's what it used to be like on the tour when you had, and again, I go back to the names, Greg Norman, Tom Kite, Brad Faxon, Freddie Couples, you know, Larry Mize. I mean,
even John Daly.
John Daly's another great one. I mean, that's what I mean. You and I have once in a while we'll compare eras, and we'll talk about the great players of the NBA, and we can go down lists, and it's hard to compare, because I just feel like today's NBA doesn't have that list of superstars that we used to have in the NBA. There's great athletes, but not the same personalities. Personality-wise, that you can root for. That's what I'm talking about. The NBA today, you definitely can watch it entertaining, but the average fan isn't like tuning in unless you're watching LeBron or one or two of the others. Where back in the 80s and 90s, there were so many personalities. Each team seemed to have their own guy that you wanted to tune in and see it. And that's what a lot of the PGA to me was back in the day. So if you had a week where you didn't have a Freddie Couples in contention or a Greg Norman in contention, but you had 15 other names that were huge names that you wanted to see and you wanted to either root for or root against. Today's golf, there's a handful of players that are special and you can't wait to see them play, like the Spieths and there's a list of them. But they're not like must-see TV like it was back, I think, in those days. And I think that's really where golf's gone. That's why I think Tiger is so important to the game, and he's still relevant to the game today.
Well, and everybody's going to tune in at 10:42, I think, when he's teeing off today. And they'll watch the whole day now.
Of course.
So, I mean, is it even better that he kind of struggled, so now everybody's going to be watching longer?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I can tell you something.
I would disagree because, I want him to win.
Yeah, I mean,
and if he's in contention,
of course,
if he
was two or three shots off the lead going in today, I mean, people, if he couldn't beat, you'd be DVRing it, or if he went into tomorrow and he was a shot back or one up, that's must watch golf right there. That's must watch TV. So hopefully Tiger can do something today to get himself back into contention, but he made the cut, and that is a big deal for the PGA Tour. So,
and he's played what?
Oh, I know.
two and a half tournaments.
I know, and he's back.
And he's coming back, and he's doing this?
I guess his practice round, though, the day before was, like, insanely good. I mean, I guess he had, like, I don't want to put a number out because I don't know it exactly, but I guess it was insanely good. But I'll tell you right now, there's nothing better than Tiger.
Come on. Practice doesn't matter.
Practice?
Yeah.
Practice does matter.
No, it doesn't.
Get out there, kids, and practice.
Well, you got to practice, but you got to perform.
Exactly. Practice makes perfect.
It does make
perfect. No, perfect practice makes perfect.
655-6672 is if you want to join the conversation. We are going to take a break, but when we come back, hey, man, it's time, right? Out in left field, and we probably got a good one.
Oh, we got a good one.
Coming right at you.
Want to hear something weird? It's Out in Left Field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Our new segment here, Out in Left Field. And before we get to that, and we got a good one today, and I'm going to give it over to Aaron in a second, but I got to give Tim from South Burlington a shout out. He just sent us a text. Can't forget Chichi Rodriguez from the tour. Of course you can't.
What a personality.
Another personality. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The PGA was must-see TV back in the day, telling you.
And I didn't know we were on the X-Files or the Twilight Zone either.
Out in Left Field, Bernie, you get the symbolism here? Out in Left Field, a little weird, a little odd.
It's weird news. It's weird.
Kind of like the caller that we had to tell to call back later.
He's not weird.
Oh, okay.
That's my dad. All right, let's hear it. What are we doing, Aaron? Let's go.
All right, so this one's a little trippy in terms of like the wording, so give me a break if I mess it up.
No, not at all.
Not a problem.
NASA thinks there may be alien life on Venus.
Oh, boy.
Aliens could be living in the clouds of Venus, a NASA-backed study says. Researchers claim simple microbial life forms might exist in the upper atmosphere of the world dubbed Earth's evil twin.
Microbial?
The findings were recently published in Astrobiology. Mysterious dark patches have been detected in its clouds by space probes. They appear to resemble the light-absorbing properties of bacteria on Earth, scientists say. This is the funny part. The temperature on the surface of Venus is twice the maximum setting of a kitchen oven, and it rains sulfuric acid, so you can't live on the surface.
Right.
And if any astronaut avoided getting roasted or poisoned, they would be crushed by the pressure of the dense atmosphere.
It's a rough place.
Research by an international team of scientists says extraterrestrial microbes might survive by being blown around by winds in the cooler cloud tops.
Okay, here's my thing.
No, hold on. Wait.
Go ahead.
In the clouds?
Hey, that's where they hide, those aliens.
That's how they avoid the acid rain and the dense atmosphere.
Sounds like a great place to live.
Has anybody seen the movie Independence Day? Like, why are we even looking for aliens? I mean, you don't want to mess with people. You don't want to mess with aliens, especially if you don't know if they're nice.
Hey, a few million years, those microbes turn into xenomorphs.
Hey, or maybe...
Who?
Xenomorphs.
What's a xenomorph?
From aliens?
Oh, yeah. What's I don't know what you're talking about. But that's what I'm saying. Like, why are we hunting?
That was Predator.
Yeah. Why are we hunting? That's another good movie. You ever see the movie Predator? You want to mess with those guys? Like, why are we trying to find them? What are you going to do anyway? Hey, how are you? I'm Jeff. I'm Bernie. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Where are you from? Like, it's fine. You do you. We'll be us. Why can't we be hiding from these things?
I got enough problems with human beings. Exactly. I don't need to deal with aliens.
Like, let's just stay in our thing and hide. Let's just hide in the closet. We don't need
them. Maybe we're aliens and we don't even know it.
Now you're like the tinfoil hat in me over here. There's not been one, for the exception of E.T., there hasn't been one movie that's been a nice movie about an alien. That's right. Don't watch Open Water either. That's another public service announcement. But the point is, like, why are we looking for them? What do we do if we find them? What if we go around the corner and there they are? And they're all, like, 8 feet tall, built like Shaquille O'Neal, big muscles, you know what I mean? With powers that they can shoot think lasers out of their eyes and they can... I mean, what happens? Then what happens? Then they come over here and then they take over. We don't want to mess with that.
Well, but then we get Space Jam in real life.
That's true. Well, that's true.
That'd be fun.
That'd be cool. Anything that brings Michael Jordan back, I'm all in. So if that's going to do that, then
and
fine.
Sean Bradley.
Oh, yeah. All the guys back then. I love the best line in that movie was when Dirk Nowitzki wanted to get... Now, what movie was that where Dirk Nowitzki wants to get somebody's autograph for his sister? It's a movie he's in and he's like, oh, sure, I'll sign it for you. What's your sister's name? Dirk. It's a great line. Hey, another out in left field segment. Well done, Aaron. Good job hunting that out. I mean, listen, aliens and Venus, whatever. I just don't want them to come
here. I got a couple of friends that live out in the clouds.
Oh, yeah. Like that, you know. We know all about that. Okay. I think I saw a UFO once, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, just like your driver saw Chewbacca.
No, not Chewbacca, yeah. Bigfoot. Well, that's a true story.
Oh,
hey, man, he swears by it, and I trust this
guy. Well, maybe we can have that be the...
Yeah, maybe I'll have him call in one of these nights. Well,
that segment.
Yeah, that'll be him. He can come on.
Yeah.
One of our Ramontos saw Bigfoot on his way to my restaurant once. Unbelievable. A whole Bigfoot.
No, absolutely not.
Sports Center time.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
I mean, I'm not as tall and I don't have the hair and I'm not good looking, but I mean, other than that, I mean, you know, Tom Brady and I are a lot alike.
And Bernie Siplicki.
No.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN. Field way back, and there's number one. Goodbye, home run. Manny Machado gets out of the home run funk that he had been in. So Pedro Alvarez, who a long time ago came on to pinch hit, is the designated hitter. Bases remain
loaded.
You guys
are unbelievable.
Now the Yankee infield back up in the middle, in at first and third. In the air to right field. Judge going back, and the bases are loaded. And goodbye, home run. A grand slam. Puts the Orioles on top, 7-3 with a salami.
Thought you got away this week, huh?
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation with these two morons and me over here. Here I was about to compliment you on your wonderful Sports Center, checking up on our listeners and make sure everybody's okay. But yet you two, the two masterminds over here, just getting it done again on game 8 of the season, no less. I can just imagine what's going to happen by like July or August.
And the best part is Aaron goes, you know what? Let's save it for 11 o'clock and then he'll totally forget about it.
You guys rumble. All right, well played.
That worked to a T.
Well played. But as I will tell you, and as I say often, you know, I do want to others as I'd want done unto me, so...
Of course.
Keep it coming because you know that I will not retaliate in any way.
I know.
That's not who I am because I want, you know, you guys to feel comfortable and happy, whereas you could care less about my feelings at all. So fair enough there. It's all fair. It's all fair. No problem at all. 655-6672 if you want to join our conversation. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. Jan from Underhill just texted me and said, tell Aaron he missed the Mets being 5-1 in the Sports Center. Mets are off to a really nice start, 5-1 out there. So Jan's very excited about his Mets, M-E-T-S. Mets.
You should be more excited about Tim Tebow.
Yes. Jan, you will get a shout-out in Hot or Not. Just you wait. 10:40.
Or 11:40.
11:40.
Well, 11:40.
If you're listening in Chicago, it's 10:40. You know, so there
you go. Yeah, for our Chicago listeners.
Exactly. We do have a couple of Chicago listeners for that. Actually, we have a handful of Chicago listeners, some Midwestern listeners, just for the record. I'm putting that out there. So listen, NBA season is almost over. We're going to go to the playoffs very, very soon here. Celtics, you know, get the terrible news about Kyrie, have a big win last night against the Bulls, got some phenomenal play at a couple of their players. Kid off the bench comes in. By the way, is it Monroe that had the triple-double last night?
Greg Monroe.
He is the first Celtic center to have a triple-double since guess who?
Bill Russell?
Nope.
Kevin Garnett?
From Centenary in the center, number Robert Parrish. She did it in March of 1987, so he's the last guy to have triple-double. So big play off the bench. I know
against
that you,
a really bad Bulls team.
Against a bad Bulls team, fair enough. But what I'm saying is, to me, the Celtics still have the best coach. They got some really, I think, undervalued players. And I think, and look, I get it. When you look at these teams in the East right now, you look at Toronto, you look at Philadelphia, who's won is it 13 straight games for the Philadelphia Sixers? I mean, that's
and
amazing.
And that game last night.
Unbelievable.
And I owe an apology to all the Sixers fans out there. At the beginning of the year, I said the Sixers were going to be irrelevant and that they shouldn't be excited. If you're LeBron James, after last night, how do you not go and join that team?
How do you even accept LeBron James as your team if you're the 76ers?
Okay, we'll get into LeBron
after. Okay, we'll
save
about that
later.
You know, but again, and the 76ers are one of those teams you can really jump on that bandwagon and root for. A team that, an organization
of course, with
that.
J.J. Redick?
Oh, yeah, of course. It goes back to your Dookie. Now, that's a big shot he hit last night.
Oh, cold blooded.
Yeah, he is. He's a good player. But again, so when you look at these teams in the East, the teams that are the favorites, you look at the Sixers, 13 straight wins, definitely playing great basketball. The Toronto Raptors playing great basketball, probably the best team. And then you look at Cleveland, who looks like they're coming. You feel, okay, the Celtics aren't playing great basketball, but I'm telling you right now, the playoffs are a different animal. And you're talking about an unexperienced Sixer team, a team in Toronto that hasn't quite gotten over the hump, and then obviously you got Cleveland. So just don't tell me that the Celtics can't win a couple series to get themselves to at least a championship in the East. It can happen.
I want to believe that. I really do, wholeheartedly. But I just don't think they're talented enough. I mean, you lost two All-Stars. You still have good pieces. You have a great coach. But I just, you know, they get through the first
round.
But
they score points, Byrne. Like, they're still scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, that's fine.
And to me, in the NBA, if you can score enough points, you can beat anybody.
Well, if you score enough points in any game, you're going to win.
But you have the best coach. Here's the thing in the NBA. Nobody has a great coach in the NBA.
They're
not all good coaches.
They're all good coaches. We just pay more attention to Brad Stevens, and we just marvel at how great he is, which he is.
They're not all great coaches. Most of those guys are just managing personalities. Like, you can't tell me that the guys in Cleveland are great coaches. They're just managing personalities.
You don't think Tyronn Lue's a great coach?
I don't think he's a great coach, no. I think Tyronn Lue's a good coach. I'm sure. I think Tyronn Lue, the best thing for him to do would go somewhere else where you can actually coach. Coaching in Cleveland is not coaching. Coaching in Cleveland is you're managing personalities. You're not dealing with coaching. And I mean, LeBron James runs the show there. What he wants, he gets. What he says, they do. My point is, Brad Stevens is going to get these guys prepared. Like, to me, he's the only coach in the NBA that's actually, in my opinion, from what I'm seeing out of the top teams, that actually will put a plan together that can neutralize different aspects, and his players will buy in. I'm not sure that NBA players buy into stuff like that, from what I'm seeing. That's just me. And I think
some of the better teams, Houston, Golden State, San Antonio.
Aaron just put up there. You can speak in here, man. You can jump in here. That's a good point.
I feel like I've been cutting you guys off a lot. Steve Kerr, they won a game where he wasn't even there. He wasn't even coaching.
Yeah. You know,
like, the NBA is about the players, man.
Right, and that's why the Celtics will not win because they lost their two best players.
But great coaching brings a different dynamic.
Yeah,
it's harder to assess them the same way as the other teams because they do have a great coach.
And I think they bought into Brad Stevens. I think, and that's the thing about Brad Stevens.
Well,
you know,
if you don't buy in, you're out.
That's the point. So the coach runs the show.
Right.
So that's why I feel like even with less talent, and even with a team that obviously is banged up and has some adversity against these other teams, you know, for the exception of really Cleveland, and I think Toronto's probably the best team. I mean, I don't know if I'd pick them to go represent the East in the NBA Finals, but I think they can get themselves to a championship. I truly believe it. I wouldn't be surprised.
I hope so. Don't get me wrong. I hope so. I think even the first round matchup, if they match up with Milwaukee or if they, you know, that's not going to be
easy. It's tough. There's no question. I'm not saying,
Washington?
And they could lose in the first round too, Bernie, but what I'm saying
The only team I don't see them losing to in the first round potentially is Miami.
Yeah.
I think if they match up with them, they're going to be able to beat them. But if they play Washington or Milwaukee, that's going to be a battle.
655-6672 if you want to talk some basketball with us here. NBA, the regular season ends this week.
You got that? And the Bruins?
Yeah, the Bruins are playing great hockey, too. Listen, I mean, I will be poignant and tell you that I am by no means a hockey fan, and it's probably embarrassing my hockey knowledge here, but you got to be impressed with what the Bruins have done. I mean, between them and Tampa Bay, big wins. I mean, they're red hot at the right time as well.
Yeah, tough loss to Florida the other night.
Well, you're going to have losses in there, but you're looking at a team overall when this thing starts, when the Stanley Cup playoffs start. I mean, the Boston Bruins are in a tremendous position to do it, you know, to do it again. I mean, they really are. You got to like their chances.
It's great. I got a lot of Celtics fans chiming in. You know, I got a fan that says, one and done. And I got another one. We want to play Milwaukee because they can't shoot. Well, they got the Greek Freak. And
they got Malcolm Brogdon.
And
just saying.
Who's been hurt?
Yeah,
and Jabari Parker.
They don't need to shoot. They've got a guy in the middle who can dunk from the free throw line.
Yeah.
But again, in your friend that texted you is absolutely right. The Celtics could be one and done. There's no question.
And then they could get to
the... But don't be surprised that they could get to the final.
So why would we bet against the Cleveland Cavaliers not getting to the championship?
I don't know if you could bet against Cleveland Cavaliers not getting into the championship.
You just don't want them to get there because you don't like LeBron.
I don't like LeBron.
LeBron and the Giants right now are kind of equal because... Oh,
no,
that's
not.
Right. I wasn't supposed to... I can't bring up the Giants. Sorry.
Listen, first of all, let me just rephrase it. It's not that I don't like LeBron James. I'm in awe of his talent. I think he's one of the greatest players ever to play the game. But the way he does it, I just don't like. I don't like the way he... I don't like it. I don't like that he's jumping to different. I mean, we'll get into this because I know it's part of our hot or not segment. But I you're right. I don't. So
how about
I'm not
him and Ben? How about him and Ben Simmons last night?
Oh, that was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, how about Ben Simmons? Because I know that you and I had talked when Ben Simmons got drafted. I'm like, that's a mistake. This kid's not ready. But man, Ben Simmons is ready. He's ready. I was wrong. I was way off.
You see his post on, I think it was Instagram. Where
you notice that he's like bouncing around.
Yeah,
over here?
He's too excited. He's very excited.
He's like, I see like hands going up in the air. And
I'm excited about this. We've got a nickname for Ben Simmons. He's in Philly. He's like the little LeBron. He is the Fresh Prince. You've got the King and the Fresh Prince. I'm excited. I check my Twitter. I posted about it.
You put the Fresh Prince. The Fresh. Okay, yeah.
In West Philadelphia, born.
Yeah, but then he moved.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, then he moved. He moved to L.A. That's more like LeBron than him.
So now maybe the King will move to Philadelphia.
Oh my God, I can't imagine that.
That would be. I mean, Ben Simmons, Embiid, and LeBron up front.
It'll probably happen because that's what LeBron does. We'll get into that later on about LeBron.
It fixed the imbalance in between the two conferences.
Well, the one super team against other super team.
They're in the East.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and then in the West, you've got the Rockets and the Warriors.
Right.
There's an imbalance there because the conference, the finals, I was looking for the word finals, have been owned by the Warriors. If Philly had LeBron plus their current roster and they made it to the finals, I feel like they could compete.
I'd be surprised. I'll tell you right now.
Didn't Cleveland just beat Golden State 2 years ago?
And isn't Golden State the second best team in the West right now, right?
Yeah,
Houston. Yeah, Houston's pretty good.
Yeah, but I wouldn't bet on anyone beating the Rockets if they met them in the finals.
You don't think anybody can beat the Rockets in the finals?
Not really.
Well, when you get there, whatever. But I think in terms of the East and in terms of the Celtics, I mean, the odds are stacked against them, but don't be surprised because of the genius of that coach and because of the style that they play, which is basically he's preparing them for, I mean, I can't, as soon as Brad Stevens finds out who he's got, I mean, he's going to game plan. The guys are going to follow that game plan. I truly believe the Celtics could have a shot at this. I mean, it's going to be tough, but
again,
I
hope so. Yeah. I really do. I just think it's going to be hard when you don't have two All-Stars.
It's going to be different.
Yeah.
Than what you expected.
You know, it's going to be, you know, like the young guys like Jason Tatum will really have to step up.
I'll tell you what could have been for the Celtics this year, though, right? Seriously. If there was no, if these injuries didn't happen, what could have been for this team in terms of talent wise?
It's kind of, though, been a little. You know, Isaiah Thomas has been hurt, then these guys. So
does that pose the reason that coaches want to sit and organizations want to sit players throughout the season because of things like this?
And they should. And the season's way too long. I mean, between the preseason and the postseason and the regular season, these guys are playing, you know, potentially 120 games.
Yeah, it's a lot of basketball. It is. It's a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah,
and so maybe you know. But again, you know, you spend all this money to go watch a game. You take your family to go watch a game in Cleveland and you want to go watch LeBron James. You would. You know, and that's the problem. I mean, it's an entertainment. It's an entertainment. You're paying to see these guys play. And But at the end of the day, you know, you got to do what's best for the organization. So you kind of can see that. And I think the Celtics are a perfect example. Now those injuries are freak injuries. These aren't exhaustion injuries. They're like they're wearing down. You know, you got a situation with Hayward where you know, he has a compound fracture on his leg. I mean, that's just brutal.
That was gross. And thank God we didn't see it like the golf guy.
Oh, wow. Guy's a pro.
Ugh.
You guys didn't see that. I don't remember the player's name. Par 3 tournament, the Masters.
Was it Fialu?
I don't remember the name. If you know it, you can text it to us in the 655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. But anyway, if you haven't seen it, Google par 3 hole-in-one, par 3 tournament, the Masters. I'll just go through the process with you. He's got, like, his family out there. You know, it's a par 3 tournament. It's a great tournament. It's a lot of fun to watch. I have a lot of friends that actually go to that just to go watch that. But anyway, he's got
a lot of friends.
Well, I got a few acquaintances. Okay. Anyway, they're the same friends. I'm talking about the same people.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Anyway.
All three of them?
Yeah, two.
Okay.
Two and a half, whatever, depending on the day. Anyway, so hits the par 3, ball goes up, hits the corner of the green, rolls in, goes in. He's fired, crowd's going crazy.
And he should be.
Of course, who wouldn't be? Except when I got my hole in one, I didn't even know I got a hole in one. I didn't get a chance to freak out.
We're not talking about you right now.
That's a good point. Okay. He ran down the fairway and is jumping around. All of a sudden,
His left ankle.
Fractures. Like, it pops out of place. It dislocates. And it's like,
it's gross.
It looked like Joe Theismann in 1980 something when Lawrence Taylor fell on him. But then, miraculously, he just pops it back in, gets back up, and walks over. And he played this weekend.
He finished playing, went to the driving range, then had it looked at, wanted to see if he can do it. And he's hanging around. I think he's like at minus two.
Is that the toughest guy in the world, man? I mean, honestly, people mock golfers, but he might be the toughest man in the country
right now. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? First of all, the elation of having a hole in one like that at the Masters. You're excited. And the crowd's going crazy.
And this is on like national TV, and you got a lot of people around you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And he's just like, all right, I'm good.
And he pops it up. Yeah. Bring me the bag. We're gonna go get the ball. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable. Oh, here we go. So yeah, Christy, thank you so much. It's FINAU. Is it Finu or Finu or whatever? Anyway, he found his way of getting that ankle back together. I'll tell you that. And he's still playing. What a champ.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Not this cat.
No. Well, you'd pop it back in. I got to tell you this, right? My guess for you is, and I mean this with all realistic, if if you had a hole-in-one at the Masters, and there's
the adrenaline,
tens and twenties of thousands of people watching you there and then on TV, you might pop it in and still keep running up and down. You might do that. And you might be sore the next day.
You think?
No, yeah. I've got interesting conversation I want to talk to you next segment about.
Okay.
I want to prepare you for it.
Is it? Not New York. Well, nope. It is kind of New York related because it's Syracuse.
It's Syracuse. So, and I wanted to talk to you about this last week, and I want you to think about this, Bernie, because we do have to go to break in like 30 seconds. All right. Syracuse commits. He was a 5-star. Darius, I think it's pronounced Baisley. He decommitted to Syracuse. He's going to go to the NBA. Interesting conversation. Should high school athletes coming out of high school be able to go right to the NBA? Should college players?
Well, he's going to the D League.
Exactly, but he's going to the NBA. He's going to the G League.
Okay.
The G League. He's going to their developmental league, but he's skipping college to do it, which means he's going to become a pro. He's just going to go there instead of college. Is that good for college basketball? Chew on that. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You guys want to hear my Jeff and Bernie impression? I was watching the Giants game while Monica waxed my head, and Eli Manning is terrible.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Oh, here we go. Come on, Jeff. Lay off, Eli. Where's my Mountain Dew?
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Somebody had some fun with the computers this week, huh, Berm?
Interesting.
Aaron is on. Aaron's getting it done here, man.
Interesting.
Little jab at my bald head.
Well, I mean, again.
He did kind of sound just like you, though. I mean, he's got you down pat.
Not hard.
No. And there's the Mountain Dew right there. Little can today, though. Little guy.
Yeah.
The wee man today.
Yeah, you know, hey. Trying to cut back.
655-6672 if you want to join our conversation today. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You can also text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 655-6672. Talk some golf today. Talk some football today. Little baseball. Want to get back to the college basketball thing, Bernie. It was something that I read last week, and we never got to it last week with everything else that goes on our show. Sometimes we go on tangent once in a while and miss these opportunities. But
no.
So 5-star Darius Baisley, and I may be pronouncing it wrong, and if I am, I apologize. He decommitted to Syracuse. big shot to Syracuse's program. Obviously, we get a five-star that decommits. It's a big deal. He's going to go to the NBA's Developmental League. I believe it's a G League. You know, my question to you now is, with everything that went on with the FBI investigation and all the one-and-dones and the criticisms of not just people that don't root for these teams, but even people that root for these, you know, I've got a very good friend that's a big Duke fan. We've talked about her. She's almost as diehard a Duke fan as you are, and it bothers her. My father's a great example of it. He's a Duke fan that bothers him that every year it's five new guys. And I've argued that Krzyzewski has kind of changed who he is as a coach because of this. You know, you look at Calipari and what he's done, and you look at these guys. Is it good for college basketball, and is it good for the NBA? If high school players have the ability, if the NBA teams want this to happen, to go into their developmental leagues instead of going into college basketball?
Well, it's obviously not good for college basketball because you don't get to see these guys on display, even if it's just for 1 year. But with that being said, you know, everybody wants to take care of themselves and you know, make that money and get it going. So I think the balance hasn't been struck or found.
Do you think that there's an issue with, you know, we talk about the kind of money that's generated by these teams, and we talked last week about Chicago, Loyola of Chicago, and how much money that team
and publicity
brought into publicity. So here we're talking the money that it gets you to get to the tournament and then to win those games. But then people are going to want to wear the Loyola shirts, you know.
There's Sister so much Jean shirts, all that stuff.
You know, is it fair that these kids are the ones that are out there? You know, and again, this is the argument. They should start getting paid. They should get a piece of the pie. Look at the millions and millions of dollars that these universities bring in because of the talent level of these athletes. In your opinion, should college players end up having to get paid for that kind of situation?
You know, you look at, I go back to the U. Let's go back to the U with college football. And that's kind of where this all started.
Yeah.
My bigger picture and or belief is that the big conferences, the power schools, the power five, need to break away from the NCAA and do what you want. And then all the other schools that stay under the jurisdiction of the NCAA, you have your scholarship and you go back to the old way that it is. You know, you scholarship, it's more student athlete friendly. In terms of the scheduling, it gets back to the old traditional way, and you let the power schools and the power conference be the wild, wild west. And, you know, you have your choice to, as a student athlete, go to those places and they can pay. If you're a big time recruit and you want to come here and be part of this program, we'll give you X amount of dollars. And you're better than me. You know, you're going to get paid more, but, you know, please still come and play with us. I
am so out in left field with that.
Is that better than, you know, is that better than going to minor league baseball? Is that better than potentially going to a developmental league for the
NBA?
Just trying to think outside the box.
You were a division, and we play with it all the time, but you were a big time Division I basketball player at UVM, and you played. Okay, so you understand what it takes to be that, play that level, and what the dedication is. But what I would argue is that, no, in my opinion, these kids should not get paid. I mean, first of all, you're going to school in most cases for nothing. Okay, you're going for nothing. Okay, that's number one. You're treated like a god for whatever the X amount of years that you're going. You may not be getting monetary money. You're not handed, you know, $5,000 a week for scoring 30 points against Duke and winning a championship. That's not how it works. But you're completely taken care of. You get the best of everything for however the duration that you're there. So you're paid in different ways.
But if I come from an area where I don't have money,
sure.
Why and you want to use my talent,
right?
How can I take care of my family?
So I'm going to tell you that. So that's why I believe they should have the ability to go to the NBA. If an NBA team wants to draft you and bring you in, then you have every right to do so. I think that I don't think I would say this, and I've said this to you on this show many times. I don't mind the I don't, I don't care about the one and dones because those kids are going to those schools to become professional basketball players. Just like you and I, you may go to school to be a teacher or a doctor. If somebody walked up to you as a, if you were trying to become a teacher and offered you a job after a year and a half as a teacher that paid X amount of dollars, you had the choice to leave college and go take that job. That's what you're going to school for. But to sit here and tell me that you got to start throwing money, that's not how it works. I don't agree with that. I think,
but you asked me what could and or should be done, and is it good for the game? No, it's not good for the game, but this can help. This could potentially help the game.
But to me, how many of these players are we talking about here? Like, how many? Seriously, like, I mean, here's what I'm saying. Like, I think there are probably a handful of athletes a year, a handful, that are probably good enough where an organization, where the NBA would say, okay, I've got the third pick in the draft, and I'm going to take Bernie Siplicki from Rice High School.
But there's...
Because if that's the case, you go.
But there's so many. But there's so many people that give bad information and latch on. And what about the 10 kids every year that go?
Go where?
That commit to the draft.
Yeah.
And then they never make it.
Right.
That's why I think you got to try to entice these kids to go to school with some kind of stipend.
No.
Yes.
Nope.
At the power conferences, because they generate so much money, and the education.
And then where's the education go? Then there's no education.
But I'm saying, the kids, like, so Kevin Knox just committed to go to the NBA. You knew he was going to go.
Yeah.
So what about if Kentucky is in the SEC and the SEC breaks away from the NCAA, and they have the ability to give Kevin Knox, besides the scholarship and going to school and taking care of that, $100,000 a year. And now he says, I want to stay around because I'm getting an education. I'm able to take care of my family, and the NBA can wait. He takes care of himself. He takes care of his family. The school is happy, and the NBA doesn't get watered down with the younger kids.
So does the captain of the field hockey team get the same $100,000?
At the power conference schools, each.
I mean, you're going to sit here and tell me that. So, for example, like, I mean, you know for a fact that some of these, I mean, whether it's a Power Five or not, the Power Five at Duke, let's just use as an example, Duke's basketball program probably brings in how many millions of dollars a year? I mean, millions of dollars. But does the Duke water polo team bring any money in?
And that's where you have to find that fine line with the Power Five schools and say, for basketball, you get to give out this amount of money for your roster.
Okay. I mean, I don't mean to interrupt you, but to me, this is like, I mean, to me, they are getting an education, a full rides education, that if something does happen in basketball, if they take advantage of that education, they can go become something in life. And I understand that everybody comes from different areas and they have an opportunity to make that money. If you are good enough to get drafted in the NBA, then you're getting a contract. So whether you go and, so, you know, Bernie Siplicki comes out, they you know, an agent comes up to you as you're a senior in high school and says, or you're coming off a freshman year and says, Bernie, I think you're a top five talent. I think you should go into the draft. So instead of you getting drafted at fifth, you end up getting drafted 11th. Okay? But you're still a talent. You're going to get your contract.
What about, I mean,
I don't understand why it's got to be.
And again, I'll just bring it because I'm a Duke guy. Like Trayvon Duval, he's going and he's signing with an agent. You know, he's in the early 20s, maybe not a first-round draft pick, and that there's no guaranteed money.
Then why is he going?
Exactly.
Why is he going?
Because he doesn't want to go back to school. These guys just want to play.
That's fine. So you can go back and play. This is what I said. Then go back and play under arguably the greatest coach ever to play, and get all that exposure, and get better. How about you go back to Duke and get better and get your education, then go the next year? I mean, you're not going to get paid yet. We're all going to college.
You talk about the dedication and
what it takes to to be great at your craft.
Right.
Right.
Let's be serious. How much school do these guys miss for the ACC tournament, the NCAA tournament, and all that kind of stuff? It's hard.
Oh, I'm sure it is very hard, but they have their tutors that are with them. I mean, they're playing basketball. They're still playing their sports. I mean, it's a game. Let's not go nuts here. It's still a game.
Right.
Okay, it's basketball. And they've been talented at their whole types, and they're going to have great careers. And if they're good enough and they deem with their parents and maybe their coaching staff that they're playing for at Duke, like your player you're talking about at Duke, that, okay, we're going to go. I might be top 25 draft, whatever. I'm going to roll the dice on it. You go and you go be what you got to be. Or you say, maybe I'm not ready yet. I'm going to stay one more year and maybe become a top 10 pick, and I'm going to go back to school, and I'm going to play for Coach K, and I'm going to have the greatest training in the world. I'm going to be around, you know, I've got the greatest trainers. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to better myself. On top of it, I'm going to school. So if something does happen to my basketball career, I'm still getting an education so I can walk out into the real world and become something. Instead, we're saying, okay, we're going to come to Duke. We're going to pay you $100,000 so you can take care of your family. God bless, take care of your family. But how about those kids that are great, that could be great doctors? They're not getting $100,000. They got to finish their school to get what they have to get.
But they're not bringing in any money for the school.
But again, is it they bringing in or the team's bringing in? I mean, what they're a part of a great, but then again, they're getting part of their education. They're still bringing in money. They're paying. I mean, if you go to school and you're paying to go to Duke to become a doctor, you don't get a scholarship. You're paying to go.
Right.
You're trying to get your education. So
but
you're
not.
Something.
You're not paying the millions of dollars that the program brings in for the institution.
So you still think? I just disagree.
That's okay.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I understand where you're coming from.
I mean, I just think it sets a terrible precedent. And
of course,
I think it would ruin. I mean, then I think you're talking about other thing, athletes. You know, you're talking about soccer programs and field hockey programs and whatever it is. I mean, every other sports program. Even though I'm sure that, you know, you get that the Alabama's football team is bringing in a hell of a lot more to the school than, you know, maybe the, you know, the whatever
the
team,
volleyball
the
team.
Volleyball team.
Right.
I get that.
But again, that can be broken down. And that's why I think with all these rules, the regulations, the FBI probes, all this kind of stuff, break away.
Or don't break away. How about you have the choice of going to the NBA if you feel you're strong enough to go?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that either, I think by not allowing them to go and being able to pay, this might help college basketball, you know, have kids stay in school longer.
I don't know. I mean, I feel as if that, you know, you're going to school to become a, I mean, it's worked for so many years. Like, this has been this way forever. In the end, you can say
but,
what you
but
want
it's
about,
ruined.
It's not ruined.
The college game is ruined.
The college game is not ruined. How's it ruined?
Look at what happened this year with all the cheating and what everybody does. So now,
but I understand that if you could harness that cheating and you get it under control, then you start having...
Do you really think you can get it under control?
No, I don't think it'll be under control, but I think you start paying people to... I think if you start paying kids like that,
but if,
it's
if
a
you,
terrible precedent.
If you, I mean, it is, but you got to change with the times. Like Coach K did with recruiting, like Coach Cal did with recruiting. If the Power Five break away for college football and college basketball and do whatever they want, that might help everybody.
Then you're talking about an NBA and another professional league. You're taking away college basketball. But you're taking away college basketball now.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No,
you're talking about, yes, you are. You're talking. Where's Loyola? Would there be a story like Loyola in the NCAA tournament if you had these power schools break away?
Well, it'd be like it's no different than 1A and 1AA football.
Good. But no, it's not. But that basically ruins NCAA basketball for me because you're talking about there's no more Cinderellas. There's no more of that. Now you've got the power schools, you got the small schools. So right now it is like Division One, Division One, Double A, or Division One A. You have no interest in the 1A, and you're only going to focus on the power schools. So now we have two professional leagues.
What do you mean there's not going to be focus?
Here, we got to take a break. We could do this all day, you and me.
Yes, we could.
All right, when we come back, it's hot or not. Our take on what's hot and what's not. Don't go anywhere.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not. Powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
A little shout out to our boy Jamie Dennis for voicing that, man. Is that your creation right there, Aaron?
Sure is.
Wow, man. We are really something. All right.
Not as good as the Superb Cupcake, but that's
no,
what I love.
No, those Superb Cupcakes are unbelievable.
That's right.
Take it away, Aaron.
All right, Hot or Not is thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes today and try their new product, Superb Dough, ready-to-eat cookie dough.
Can you imagine ready-to-eat cookie dough? They make their own cookie dough now.
That sounds
delicious.
You
can eat it, too. That's unbelievable.
I want it.
Yes.
They also have a large variety of mini and regular-sized cupcakes and 12 to 15 flavors available daily. Make today a superb day. Stop into Taft's Corners Shopping Center in Williston and follow them on Instagram and Facebook.
And when I eat a Superb Cupcake, you know what I do? I learned this is I take the cupcake, you know, it's got the bottom and you got the top of the frostings. You take the bottom off and you put the top on the bottom. You take it like a sandwich and adios, like a giant Oreo.
My mother does that. And every time we eat cupcakes, she preaches about it. She's like, you got to make it into a sandwich.
Yeah, it makes it easy. That way you're not getting the frosting on the fingers so you can hold it. You know, it's not on your face. It's brilliant.
Can you eat it in one bite?
Done. No question. Easy peasy. Lemon squeezy.
All right.
All right. Here we go, kiddo. You're hot or not. Let's go.
Hold on. I was so excited about the sponsor.
Yeah, you forgot the music?
I ended the music.
Oh, my goodness. There we go. Okay. Look at that. Here we go.
There we go. There we go.
Right off that cliff again, Burn. Here we go, baby.
All right. Number one, the Giants want 2 first-round picks for Odell. The Patriots have 2 first-round picks. Odell is going to the Patriots.
Not even close. No.
Not even if the Giants wanted that, there's no way Bill Belichick would take that.
No team in their right mind should give up 2 first-round draft picks for Odell Beckham.
Exactly. Not worth it. He's not a team player. He's not.
Stop it.
You want all that money, Odell? Get your butt down to Duke and play catch with Eli. He could use the hell. He needs to practice anyway.
And Eli's probably, I was going to say, he can't even throw.
Maybe that's why he's not there.
All right, number two, Jim Mora's comments about Josh Rosen, whether they are true or not, are not the way a coach should talk about a former player.
Yeah, so here we go. So Jim Mora's comments, he needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. He's a millennial, Mora said. He knows to know why. He wants. I can't even read. He wants to know why, Mora went on. Millennials, you know, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interest in life. If he can hold his concentration level and focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He has so much ability, and he's a really good kid. Go ahead, Byrne. What do you think, hot or not?
I'm fine with that. I think it's hot. I think, you know, now the, you know, kids are different. And, you know, between the phones, there's always distractions. There's always things going on. And what's wrong with wanting to know why?
And
you look at like a 2 or 3 year old, go over there. Why?
I think more importantly, why I say not as well. I mean, what's wrong with somebody being honest? You know, if Jim Mora wants to be honest and say, look, this is the reality about this kid. I mean, he's putting himself out there. I mean, he's being honest about him, and that's the way it is.
He even says if he can hold his concentration level and focus on football for a few years, he's going to be great because he's got that much talent.
So basically what he's just saying is you got to go to an organization. That's what he's telling you. Hey, or you can draft him, but just make sure you understand you need to keep him focused because
you got to lock him
with
in.
That. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
And then you watch the Giants will take him and number two, and then...
And I'll be mad.
Oh, again, what a shock. Another I don't like Giants move with Jeff
Ball. Exactly. Okay. That's right. I'm here for you for that.
He can always say he saw it coming when they're bad as long as he hates the quarterback is what it is.
Yeah, so the 2 years they won the Super Bowl, the quarterback was still bad. But anyways.
No, he was...
stop.
Average.
Oh, please.
I told you, he's average. Sometimes he's great. Sometimes, a lot of times he's bad.
All right, LeBron James' issue with Nick Saban is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, talk to me about this. What's going on with that?
So basically, LeBron and Nick Saban both have like a barbershop sports talk show, but Nick Saban's came after, and LeBron is upset that Nick Saban copied his idea, even though barbershop talk shows have been around for a while.
So LeBron has a show called Barbershop, and Nick Saban has a show called Barbershop, and LeBron thinks that's his show?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, this is not for me, too. I mean, like, you know, LeBron is, you know.
The two greatest in their craft. The greatest NBA player.
At
and
this
the greatest,
time.
And, right.
Let's and not the, go nuts about LeBron James as the greatest of all time, because he's not. Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time.
MJ.
That's right. The greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, done.
And Nick Saban is by far the greatest college coach and what he's done there.
Oh, yeah, no question.
So, hey, guess what, you two? Just... Get your haircut and go away.
Saban isn't doing anything. He's just doing his show, right?
Well, yeah, but he responded and he basically told LeBron, too bad.
Good for him.
So, you know what? If they're fighting over that, go count your money somewhere else.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I know. It's supposed to be pretty good to have that be your biggest drama. All right.
So, Shohei Ohtani, the hype is real.
I'll say hot. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, for a kid that came out of this spring training being, I mean, I was watching Chris Russo's show, which is a great show, by the way, in the Baseball Network. It's called High Heat. He was talking about how they should send him to the minors, give this kid a break. He can't get him. And now all of a sudden he's coming out. He's crushing it. So I say hot. I mean, I like him. I think it's interesting. I'm bummed he didn't go to me. He kind of turned his back on the Yankees and went to Anaheim. But
that's
good for him.
No, I think it's phenomenal. I think it's great. And, you know, I hope the guy just continues to tear it up.
Yeah, me too.
And did you guys hear about the stat? I'm trying to pull it up right now. Do you guys hear about the stat? All right. He has at least one win as a pitcher and 2 home runs as a batter. He's did that in 7 games. Only other player to ever do that, Babe Ruth. It took him 17 games.
And he had a 3rd home run last night, I think.
Yeah, he had another one last night. Yeah,
so
it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But for a kid that had or I shouldn't say a kid, but for a guy that had a horrible spring training.
Well, and under a ton of scrutiny and just, you know, the expectation level is through the roof. And
yeah.
Yeah, seems like he's settling in nice and fine.
Good for him.
The Mets will move Tebow out of the minor leagues before the All-Star break.
Not. I mean, again, he hit one home run. It's like his first at bat when he first came in. I'm a conspiracy guy. I think they set it up before the game. They knew the fastball was coming, and it just, no.
I really like Tim Tebow. I'm going to say,
Tim Tebow.
I mean, unless the Mets were to fall on their face, which I don't think is going to happen, you know, I mean, and they needed something like that to, you know, if they were terrible and you need to fill in or you need to put some butts in the seats, maybe. I love Tim Tebow. I don't think there's anything wrong with him playing Major League Baseball or playing professional baseball. Good for him getting the home run, but I don't see it happening with the Mets, at least this year. I want to see him come play for the Mets organization when they play the Lake Monsters. I don't watch him here. When he comes, I want him to play Centennial Field.
I would love that. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah, you got to get him on our show if he comes, all right?
I'll do my best. And yeah, shout out to Jan. The Mets are 5-1 this year, so they're doing a little better so far.
Don't they do this every year, though? Don't they always start out like tremendous and then fall like a house of cards?
That's what I'm saying. By the All-Star break, they will be in the toilet and they will need someone to get fans in those seats.
I'll still say not.
I'm with you on that.
Conor McGregor is done in the MMA.
Yeah, I'm going to say, that's a tough one. I'm going to say not, only because we've learned in our era of culture that it doesn't matter what somebody does. If people are going to pay to watch him, they're going to bring him back. But I'll tell you what, anybody else did what he did this the other day. If you don't know, he's throwing things through windows. He lacerated some guy's eye with I don't know if he threw a chair through a window of a bus. I mean, insane stuff. My guess is that it was all supposed to be publicity stuff that went wrong because of the personality that he has. But I'm going to say not, but he probably should be.
Not. I mean, all he did was make his brand and his marketability stronger. They just made a ton of money with that. Yeah. I do agree with the, I think it was staged. But again, I think it was a stage that went a little too cuckoo. And now he is as strong and as ever back, and they just made a lot of money.
And I will say this. His first fight in Boston was like 3 or 4 years ago, and I was down in Boston then. I didn't go to the fight, but I was at a Virginia game, and we went to an Irish bar after. And Conor McGregor's whole, like, his trainers.
His entourage.
Came in, and we hung out with them for the night. They are all crazy, okay? I mean, they're all insane, okay? I mean, you talk about, I mean, they're a lot of fun, very funny, incredibly athletic, but they are wild. So
you can see why this.
I can see why this probably happened, but he seems to have gone, like, off the deep end, especially, I mean, just the things that he's, even through the Mayweather getting ready for that. Did you watch any of those press conferences before he fought Mayweather?
No, Mayweather.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Don't watch him, especially if you're not, you know, don't let your kids watch him. I can tell you that. But we'll see what happens. He got arrested, right?
He turned himself in. Surprisingly, and then got released.
He's being charged with 3 felonies.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. A lot of felonies. We'll see, but
He'll be back. That's not even close.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Am I pitching you guys softballs?
Let's go something tough. Let's go.
All right. 13 strokes behind, Tiger will still come back and win the Masters.
I wish, but not.
Yeah, I'm going to say not as well. I mean, it'd be nice to see him make a run. Like, you know, maybe.
Oh, it'd be great.
Maybe come out today and, like, go, you know, 5 under after the first 6 holes or something and kind of put a scare in somebody, but probably not. But the fact that he made the cut, hopefully he becomes a little bit relevant this week, and maybe the pack will come back to him. The Masters has a way of doing that, and the weather's not great today in Augusta, so we'll see what happens.
All right. The Celtics will make a move for Kawhi Leonard.
Go ahead, Burn.
Not. No. No way. If they're going to make a move, I think they got to go after Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I would say not. I think the Kawhi Leonard thing is kind of setting up. I think he's going to stay in San Antonio. I mean, how do the Spurs let that go? I mean, how do you let that athlete, that type of talent go away? I mean, I think Kawhi Leonard is one of the best in the league. Arguably could have been the MVP last year. Obviously struggling this year a little bit with injury, but I like Kawhi Leonard. I think he's going to stay in San Antonio.
He might not stay in San Antonio.
I think he's going to stay in San Antonio.
But he won't be a Celtic.
No, I can't imagine San Antonio letting him go. But you never know.
It doesn't seem like it's a...
And do you feel like Kawhi's personality is strong enough for a big market anyway?
Yes.
You do?
Yep.
You do think his mentality... Okay, because he's just...
Especially after dealing with Pop.
I know, but dealing with a tough coach is different than dealing with a tough market. I mean, dealing with a New York City or a Boston, a Chicago, a Los Angeles, I mean, to me, that's a... Those are big markets, and that he's such a like soft-spoken kid, you know what I mean? Like he's like the silent.
Well, but he's always flown under the radar.
That's what I mean. You're not going to do that.
You want to hear my Kawhi impression?
I would love it.
Perfect.
Again, it's perfect. Well, that's Hot or Not for this week. Thanks again to Superb Cupcakes, our sponsor on that. Get yourself a Superb Cupcake in Williston. It's an awesome place to grab your cupcakes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Up 2 hours down, Bernie.
Yo,
didn't take long.
I was listening to the commercials before.
Yeah,
you got to change up that Ramontos. You still got Ortiz and Jeter in there. They've been out for like 9 years now.
I know, but don't you still think that they're still like relevant? You know, like
nah.
When you think of the Red Sox, you think of Ortiz, and I think you still think
now,
of the Yankees.
Judgy and Mookie.
First of all, the word judgy will never come out of my mouth. That's number one.
Judgy.
No.
Come on, Aaron Judge. He's judgy.
That is so Red Sox announcer. I will never say that. Ever.
Derek who?
Oh, stop it.
Take it easy now.
Bite your tongue. Yeah, I feel like they're still like kind of relevant. I still think when you think of the Yankees, you still think of Jeter. I think if you think of the Red Sox, you still think of Ortiz. So, but yeah, we do have to change up. I gotta write something else. Good show, my man.
Always a pleasure.
I'm glad, and your knee feels better all of a sudden. Just hanging out with me for like 2 hours, knee feels better.
Yeah, I think it popped properly. I feel like the guy at the Masters now. I'm much better.
The question you asked me earlier before you came back was like, is it too cold to grill out? And I have to say this publicly, it's never too cold to grill out, Bernie.
Okay, man, you're just killing me.
What do you do, chicken, burgers? What do you put on there today?
I don't know, whatever my wife wants.
Of course.
Burgers.
Yeah, you like the burger?
Oh, I love burgers.
On the grill?
Yeah.
See, if it was, I'll tell you what you got to get are those grill mats. You don't have to put them right on the grill. They're these mats. You cook right on the mat, and you just wash the mat. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
No,
come on. You got to go old school, man.
No. You can go old school, put the mat on it. It's the same thing. You just have all the cleanup. It's easy.
There's nothing more enjoyable than cleaning off the grill. And
nothing beats a nice grease fire in the back.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
When you're sitting there going...
Yeah, and it's getting worse and worse, and the fire department's coming, and everybody's getting out of your house, and there's Bernie out back in his underwear trying to put out a fire. The whole neighborhood loves that.
Maybe some do.
I'm going to bet nobody likes that.
Yeah, probably not.
Hey, guys, we are Sports Saturday. We're here every single week from 10 a.m. to noon, the other local show on this station on 101.3 and 101.3ESPN.com. You can stream us live on the 101.3ESPN app. You can get it. And now we've got our podcast that come up after the show because Aaron's the man.
Aaron's killing it.
He really is doing a great job. Aaron, let's publicly say it. Great job, man.
Well, yeah, publicly say it other than mocking us a little bit. But we'll get
him. He mocks me more than you, first of all.
That's true.
And number two, you two are also like, you know, colluding against me in this show. I think we have to have a little staff meeting.
We'll get there, Jeff. We just got to work. We got to work on our chemistry.
Yeah, I know. Well, your two chemistry is fine, but it seems like Dave, you had good chemistry with Dave as well. It was always me as like the loser at the lunch table. That was me every time with this show.
Well, like Michael Jackson said, you got to look at the man in the mirror.
Oh, my God. Guys, have a great week. Have a safe weekend. Stay warm. Think spring. And as usual, go Yanks. See you next week.
Sports and sports talk for the Champlain Valley. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.